Welcome to the Single Parent Podcast. Whether you've been a single parent for a while now or have just started on your journey,
the Single Parent Podcast is a safe place for single parents to get some great information and resources, hear the stories of fellow single parents, and connect with a strong and supportive community.
We want to help you go from surviving to thriving. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Single Parent Podcast. We're so glad you were able to join us today. Today we have a very special guest, and I'm going to throw it over to Christina to introduce him.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Thanks so much, Christina. Today we have an awesome guest. We actually met via Instagram. It seems to be the way of the world now. Our awesome D Oaks, aka Darnell, he gave us a way better, like, I guess, introduction. So I'm trying to think of like what I can say, and I'm going to say single parents win, because that's sort of his mantra and hashtag, and he wears the merch like it's nobody's business, and I'm loving all of it. And he reached out to us, and he had actually asked us to be on his show, and I was like, absolutely, Christina, we should definitely do this. I love his energy. And we then threw it back at him and asked, hey, Darnell, you think you want to maybe share your story on our podcast? Because it seems like it would be really good. And it's powerful in the way that you're not a single parent anymore. So, Darnell, D. Oaks, Single Parents Win, we welcome you to our podcast. Tell us a little bit about how you had become a single parent and what your story is now.
Well, it's an interesting thing, my relationship with God, because everything that I strongly desire and go after, God give it to me, even if it's bad. So needless to say, I'm in high school. I see a young lady. And I said, God, I want her. I want her. And I went after her, and God gave her to me. And that turned into us as young people making some grown decisions that we shouldn't have. But history is history. And by the time I'm 18 years old, well, she was 18, I was 19, we had a son.
Wow.
So, really young.
And I would say a year later, by that point, we were in the falling apart stages, because of course you got two kids that obviously don't even know who they are, right?
Right.
And, you know, we're going through that thing. And I would, what you would say was probably more stable at that time financially, wanting to figure out parenting, where she was more unstable financially and kind of didn't want to figure it out. So when it fell apart, it was kind of one of those things. It wasn't even really a discussion. It was kind of one of them things like, you don't know what you're going to do, but at least I know where I'm going to have a place to stay, right? So we know where he's going to be. And by 21, it was full-fledged.
Wow.
For 9 years. Yeah, so we tried to, I tried to include her, but she began to be unstable even with the visiting. You know, every other weekends couldn't work for her. You know, so eventually I had to take it up another notch and legally secure, you know, my position with my son and get full custody. So, and that was probably by the age of like 22, maybe, when that took place.
So how old was your son at that point?
At the point where I had full custody?
Yeah.
Maybe 3 or 4 years old point.
Right in that later toddler stage where they're just kind of becoming more aware of themselves. Hey, so did he at that point then, when you got full custody, were there attempts to kind of have a relationship with between your ex and your son? Was anything like that happening, or was it just you and him for 9 years?
There was an attempt. We had a conversation. At one point, she came for a birthday, and at this point, she may have disappeared for maybe about 2 or 3 months. There were like weird pop-ins and pop-outs, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm. like I would be at work, for an example, and she'll call and she'll ask, like, what's the social security number? And I'm like, you know, what do you need a social security number for? What? You're not even around. You know, there would be an uncomfortable conversation. Then I wouldn't hear nothing again for 6 months later. So it was kind of pop in, pop outs. But later on, we had a conversation. But the very last conversation we ever had, actually, was shortly after, I want to say, his fourth birthday. She was talking about wanting to get back, you know, on some type of schedule where she can see him. And while we're in the middle of the conversation, some guy gets on the phone, and he's not talking to me, but he's screaming at her. He's screaming at her about being on the phone, and they started arguing on the phone. Jeez. And then the call goes dead.
Oh my goodness.
That was the last time I ever spoke to him. And that was, wow. He was 4 years old. He's 20 years old now.
Wow. And you know, yeah. From a societal point of view, I'll be the first to say it. You usually see single moms at that young, tender teenage, those teenage years raising up their kids, and then the dads sort of get off scot-free, so to speak. But it was completely the opposite for you. That's wild to me that was the last time you heard from her. Like, after that, like, did anyone tell you, like, where she went, or did she just disappear into fine air? Like, that's wild.
So she, well, far as us actually speaking, that was the last time. But she did actually reach out maybe about 10 years, late 11 years or so later.
Wow.
When by that point, my son was in high school. This might turn into a question, what I'm about to say. But so she reached out via Facebook, and she said, can we get together and talk, you know, about me getting in touch with, you know, getting in touch with them, building a relationship with them. At that point, I wasn't going to have that conversation with her. But fast forward to today. She's been following him on Instagram, as he expressed to me. This was before he went away to college. And I told him, you know, she's following you for a reason. But at this point, you're a man. You approach her, because I know you got questions too. So I encouraged him to at least reach out and have that conversation with her. Even if it doesn't lead to a great relationship, I think it's important for him as a man, because he's always just seen this one side of where he comes from. I thought it was important for him to at least see that other side for himself, instead of what he may have just heard, you know. So they have, from my understanding, they have somewhat of a communication today. But for me, that's why I wouldn't connect with her back then, mm-hmm. by the time he's 14, 15 years old, because that was no place. We had an opportunity to trust each other to get that done multiple times, and we couldn't get it done. So the next opportunity you're going to have to blow has got to be directly with your son. It can't be with me no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's incredible that you encouraged him to take ownership of that and to get some answers if that's what he wanted. Because I know, you know, I'd be so tempted to say, no, you know what? You don't have to if you don't want to, right? And I recognize that is part of what your conversation led to, was this is your choice, whether you want to. But the encouragement to reach out, I think, was absolutely spot on and a real testament to your own parenting in, you know, teaching him to be a man in that sense, right? That's something I struggle with a bit, because I want to be able to teach my son to be a man, but I'm not a man. So I'm teaching him from the mother perspective, right? So I think that's incredible that you're able to lead him and to teach him to be a leader in that regard.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I think it's much needed, because it's very easy for you to become the person you envy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't take ownership and you just keep pointing at this person, right? Eventually you become that person.
Totally. What advice do you have for people who might be going through a similar situation of an absent parent? Because I've dealt with, you know, absenteeism from the other parents here and there. Mm-hmm. Like it would be a few months here, a couple of years there. And I mean, I get all of what you're saying, and it's hard to even want to continue those conversations with the other parent because that inconsistency is so difficult on the child. But if you know that there's someone out there that's going through something similar, what would you tell them, and what is your best advice for them if they're going through it?
If they're going through the inconsistency phase,
mm-hmm.
I think that parent has to take ownership. They have to pretty much block off that inconsistent parent. The thing about it is, a parent thinks that by them taking ownership is doing something wrong to the child. Whereas if you ever really, I don't know if either one of you ever really like dealt with that, but inconsistency in any relationship will destroy a person.
100%.
So I would strongly, and here's the other thing. I think everybody gets a winning opportunity when that parent takes ownership, because now you're telling, you're putting that parent in a position, the other half in a position where you're not saying you cannot see your child. You're saying you can't come unless you come correct. So now, sure, you can see your child, but since you gave up your rights with your inconsistency, now you have to fight to see your child. Now, how bad do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
So you turn that parent into a committed fighter for their child. You're actually helping them long term. You're helping them.
Right.
You know, but if you're going to allow them to say, I'm committed, I'm not. I'm committed, birthdays. I'm committed, Christmas. I'm committed, New Year.
Disneyland, parent.
you're just as much as the problem as them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I can see that.
Everybody wins when that. Somebody takes ownership.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
That's what I would tell that parent.
Awesome. And you know what? It's interesting hearing you talk about ownership, because it's something that's really, I've discovered, is very important to me in dealing with my ex and our co-parenting relationship is that taking ownership is very difficult to do. Right? It's a very humbling experience to take ownership for something, especially when you're dealing with a co-parent, because those relationships aren't always great. You know, I've heard of parents who do have really good relationships with their co-parents. And to them, I say, you are unicorns. And I love that you guys have that, and that you're able to do that. But for the majority of people, it is very difficult to take ownership in a co-parenting relationship, right? So, so for you, how was that experience in pushing that, in kind of taking, because you were in a bit of a, shall I say, a lucky position that when that happened, your son was old enough that you could kind of put that onto him, right? You didn't have to be necessarily the point person for doing that. So when you did that, how was that for you, and how did you deal with that on your side of things in encouraging your son to develop that relationship?
I mean, it was at that point, like I said, he was maybe 18, 19 years old. It was pretty easy going for me, because you know, at this point, I've already raised him to be a man. So I knew that it would be difficult on him, but it was pretty easy going for me just to have that conversation with him that, yeah, I think it's time for you, you know, to take ownership in that situation. You know, it wasn't too bothering for me.
That's so good.
I think I've done a great job with it, to where it wasn't nothing to question at that point. He should be able to have a conversation with anybody.
That's amazing. You know,
the way I raised him. So I wasn't.
Speaking of that too, the way that you were raising him, I mean, he's in his 20s now, correct? That's what you were saying?
He's 28.
Now?
Yeah.
He's 20 years old. So, I mean, he's not a young kid anymore. And I think about conversations we've had with single dads on the show, and something that has been sort of a trend is that there wasn't a lot of resources for single dads, whereas there was much more for single moms as the kids were growing up. Do you feel like you had a good resource or community network that you could sort of tap into while you were raising your son?
In hindsight, I didn't. At the same time, my mother was someone I would lean on far as looking out for him if I had to work or take care of something, because I, you know, just protection wise, I didn't trust, you know, too many others in that situation. But large community, the thing about guys, and I think is actually the wrong mindset to have, but I wasn't looking for a community. I wasn't open to a community. And I think that's the mindset of most guys. Just like when I speak, you ladies can imagine, when I speak about single parenting and joining my community, most guys, they're like, and then some of them are single dads. They're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I'm like, it's not cool. It can really, it can impact your life. It's not doing it. I'm doing it because it's a resource. So, but I think that's where, you know, Manai and I kind of touched on it. We were talking earlier. That's where I think the trauma that's passed down from broken families, where guys get that bad end of the stick, where we just think that we're in control. You know, even in the worst situation, we think we're in control, and it's totally false, you know. So that's something I learned maybe 10 years after. So I had to get into my 30s to realize that. But yeah.
Oh, man, I there is so much I've learned in my 30s that you think, oh, yeah, I'm learning so much in my 20s. And no, 30s. 30s is where all these life lessons just hit you right in the face like a 2x4. And it hurts. It hurts sometimes. It's interesting hearing you talk about your experience as a single dad. And we had a conversation before we started recording about how there's instructions for all kinds of things. Right. There's, you know, you need to learn, you need to take a course to learn how to drive. You need to take a course before you can, or some schooling before you become a teacher or a doctor or whatever it is. Right. But there's nothing for parenting, which I find very intriguing. Right. Because you and I had chatted a little bit about how, you believe that education is very important after school. Right. And we kind of connected that a little bit to parenting. And it's a little bit of a segue into your single parents win here, because I think that's one of the aims you have with this initiative that you have. So can you tell us a little bit about single parents win and what that entails?
Indeed. So single parents win is a community. I wanted to turn it to a way of life for single parents to become the victors, you know, no longer being the victims. You know, when I think about single parents, right, I think about God places all in certain situations, right? Now, why would God put you in a position to where you're a single parent? Imagine a single parent of multiple children. You got to be pretty strong for God to trust you with that weight, right? So mm-hmm. we have to learn how to take that in as a positive. We got to find that positive in what looks like a negative, right? And single parents win wants to teach that in the form of empowerment. So that involves education, and I mean real education, not the education that come from the classroom. You know, what's the education of the family? What is the balance sheet of the family look like? What does the structure of the family look like? This is the reason why, like we were speaking on earlier, we're talking about a crisis of 15 million children in America that's living in single parent homes. It's the way we look at relationships. It's the way we look at family. We're looking up to sex. We're not even looking at it as, oh, this, I want to make a family with this woman. It's, I want to have sex with this woman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And vice versa. I mean, we're not just calling out the guys here. We're calling out the ladies too, right?
Absolutely. So there's absolutely. I'm just speaking, of course, from a man's perspective.
Yes.
And we know how my guys are. Guys, I love y'all, but y'all know how we are. So.
I plead the fifth.
You know, Sandy, blame me. But yes, we really want to help single parents to really tap into the power of their mindsets with single parents win. So we put together the amazing community. It's 100% free. We want single parents to network with other single parents. Single parents are some of the smartest people in the world, got some of the greatest businesses. I know of more than I can count right here in the States that own all kinds of businesses. If we're putting single parents in the same spaces, what are they going to do? They're all single parents. So parenting is going to be a big conversation. So we're able to feed off one another with parenting skills. We're tapping in. Parenting is obviously going to lead into family conversations. So how we structuring families, and you can't structure any family without a level of education. So now we're talking about how important it is for parents to actually be the teachers. So
I love that. Where do people go to find this community? Like, are you online, or how do they tap into it?
So you can go to joinsingleparentswin.com, and that's a very easy process to become a member. And we got a special event that I hope to see Steph and Clay of podcast. I hope to see y'all there at this networking event that we're having February 4th. That's on a Saturday at 10 a.m., y'all. Eastern Standard Time.
Yes. That's one of the things we had an amusing time trying to figure out was coordinating recording on both your end and our end, because we're working with three different time zones between the three of us. That's amazing that you're so committed to building this community, especially when you said that you yourself, when you were a single parent, it sounds like you didn't really see the need for one.
Yeah.
You know, which I find is an interesting, mm-hmm. yeah, it's an interesting evolution from that mindset to where you are now. What changed your mind with that? Because that's a very common perception for single dads to have, right? Is, well, I'll just do it myself, right? So going from that, how did you go from there to where you are now?
I hit a point, right? And I want to say started around 2008, everything totally crashed. Literally, everything went downhill in my life, financially, emotionally, stress. And it all came down to when I finally got a chance to sit down, it finally came down to me thinking the entire time that I was in control of everything. Mm. I didn't totally trust God. I didn't trust others. You know, I didn't want to collab with no one. I wanted to stay in my own zone, as they say. So when I realized it was that same mindset that got me to that ditch, I realized I need to do everything the opposite. I want to see what that outcome. It can't be worse than this. So I decided to collab, and I was a family member had encouraged me. They said, you know, you always give great advice. You know, there's people, they actually make a living doing it. You know, it's called life coaching, right? So I'm like, life coaching, really? So she introduced me to a Tony Gaskins, who was a great life coach, to me, a relationship coach to people. And I went under the studies of Tony Gaskins, and he had a course about writing a book. And I love a challenge. So in the course, he says, well, oh, I wrote a book in 3 days. You can do your own book. What do you need anybody else for? And of course, you know, my mindset is always work for self, do for self, you know, but this time is in a positive way. And he's teaching how everybody has a story. Nobody's story is the same. So it hit me. The power of vulnerability was something I learned from him. So I said, wow, I got a lot of stories, but what's the most vulnerable story I had? I sat down and I said, I'm gonna make that 3-day challenge. So I sat down for 3 days, locked myself in. I might have did it in 2 days, and wrote my debut ebook entitled I Did That. And that's my whole story about how I became a single parent, all the steps I took through the process, and how I position myself to be worthy to be somebody's husband.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really incredible. Cool. And okay. There, so we're going to give you an additional shout out here. So where can people find your ebook?
Oh, you can find my ebook either on singleparentswin.com. You can also find it on Amazon as well. And Barnes and Nobles.
Nice.
Yeah, I did that. It's probably on every platform. I have several other books, but my preference, viewers, listeners, singleparentswin.com. Thought I did that. And I wrote maybe four other books. I fell in love with making books after that. So I got about a total of about 5 books at this point.
That's which amazing. Actually, and it kind of brings us to where you are now in terms of the transition from single parenthood back into marriage. Because I know a lot of parents feel a bit jaded by the idea of going back into a marriage or to getting married, you know, even if they weren't married before. So was that the case for you, or were you always kind of in that mindset of, well, even though it didn't work here, I do want to get married?
I think marriage is that completion of that family infrastructure. I think people shy away from it because of their, say in the past, right? The things that I did, like I mentioned, my mindset going into meeting my son's mom, right? Wasn't the right mindset. In most marriages that fail, of course, we can point at 100 things that the other person did. But what was your mindset in dating this person? Were you even really dating the person? You know, like, was it dating or was it sexing? You know, like, which one?
Well, so, the teenage years, I don't think it was super serious.
No.
Yeah, so I think marriage has always been important to me because I know the challenge that comes with that. You know, my wife, I can't cut a corner with her, you know. if I got a dot on my face, she's going to spot it out. She's going to check me. And, You know, it gets uncomfortable. But what better way for you to grow in the, and really open to love? What greater example can you have to show your children what love looks like? It's the strongest power in existence. So what greater example than for your children to see that day in and day out? You know, I had a conversation with my wife not too long ago. We were just talking about the difference with my son's relationship with his mother and I. And we were just talking about our daughters and their relationship. And it kind of turned into a look at a kid that knows his parents don't love each other. And look at the kid who knows for a fact how much their mother and father love each other. That breathes a whole different confidence in the child's mind. You know, if they're mad at one of the parents for whatever reason, they can go to one. If the parents don't love each other, they can go to one and play one against the other. But if the parents is one, they already know, I got a problem with mom, I'm not even going to talk today. Because I go to dad, I got to deal with mom. It's, you know? I know it's not an easy thing, but I truly believe when you you build your relationship with God, God is going to show you how to date yourself, right? Mm. You able to date, you know how to date yourself, then you're going to know how you're supposed to be dated. You're going to know how to date others. And that's going to walk you into the marriage, the right marriage.
That's a good clarification.
Yeah, it's a lot of marriage thing going on. So we're not encouraging any marriage by far.
Yes. Which ones are we not encouraging? I'm just curious now.
Well, I'm not encouraging any marriage at all. It is done the right way.
I find it interesting that you mentioned specifically, right, like the dating process. That's something that I learned how to do in my 30s. I mentioned that a few times on the podcast. Both Christina and I have shared multiple stories back and forth, and we've done a few episodes too about some very interesting people that we have met in the course of our dating journey. But one thing that I didn't realize until I was older was that the process of dating is actually this figuring out who is the person that you have that right marriage with, or that right long-term relationship, if that's what you want, right? It's gathering information. And that was a key piece that I missed, you know, when I initially started, you know, dating my ex, is I didn't date anybody else. I didn't realize you were supposed to be, you know, gathering information and looking for, you know, whether you were compatible or not. And here we are. I am in my 30s and I am divorced. So here we are.
you know what the most important information you should gather right away when dating? Mm.
What's that?
I tell single mothers this all the time. What does he think about marriage? Don't wait. Ask on the first day if you want to. What's your intentions? Well, are you here to marry me? What if that makes him uncomfortable? Guess what? He just did you a favor. Because and here's the reason why you want to ask that question right away. A lot of women don't realize this. We already know what we want to do with you. Mm-hmm. We already know before we approach.
I feel like I heard Steve Harvey talk about this too. Like he says that men usually know within the first 6 months of dating someone if that's the wife that he wants.
We know,
but like
before that.
We
know. The only thing that would change that is if you repeatedly show us that we're wrong. Think about it. A man that's already in a mindset of marriage, that's what they're approaching you on. A guy that's a pimp, he's approaching you as a pimp. You get it? So whatever that man is, he wants to be a husband, he's going to approach you as a husband. So that question wouldn't offend a guy who wants to approach you as a husband. You see, so
interesting.
A lot of women think that Oh, it's too early. I don't want to run him off. Well, if he runs off, you better be happy he ran off. Because you don't want him to run off when you're 3 years in, and now you got three kids with him, and then he's going to run off. Like he's going to run off anyway. So if he's going to run off, let him run off on the introduction.
That's I like these hard-hitting questions at first because I was scared to ask them. I don't know, Christina, maybe just give enlighten me because I'm very long-term relationship marriage minded, and you and I have had some interesting discussions about this, and I'd actually like to hear your thoughts about this because you're not as marriage minded as I am, or say
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Darnell was, right? So I'm interested to hear your thoughts. So I'm totally going to put the spotlight on you here.
Totally. I mean, everyone, I always feel that everyone has their own opinion on like what it's supposed to be. For myself, I do feel that the most important thing for a single parent to do first is like really know who they are. And that is going to make you super powerful in any abilities that you need to succeed as a single parent. I don't know if it's a little bit of like childhood trauma that got me to that point where it's like I need to take care of myself. And I would never want to think for a second that a partner was like doing it for me. And I was raised in the way that it's like, if you can't figure out how to take care of yourself, you're not successful. So for me, like, marriage has never been like, oh, the end all be all. Like, I need to have that. I've never been married. I don't know if I ever will. I still don't know if I'm there, but that's part of my own healing journey. And it's like, maybe one day I'll be like, I have figured myself out enough to be like, okay, I can 100% give myself to someone. But at this point, I'm like, no, I just want to be the best mom that I can be. I don't feel, I actually disagree that the best way to show kids love is like through marriage. I feel like showing them how to be a strong parent through volunteering in the community and showing them how to give back to the community and showing them and guiding them on different things in life are super important for me. But I can respect someone else's opinion. Like I totally like appreciate it and I was like, "Oh, that's so cute." But it's not for me. Like at the end of the day, as long as my kids see that I'm like a good person, I feel like they're gonna see all the love because I built a village around me and my community is so strong in the way that I'm like, "I'm okay with it. I don't need a man. No, thank you. They're just a headache. The ones out here are a headache, and I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't."
I definitely respect that, but I want you to know, a husband is not a real husband isn't coming to take from you. They don't want to take nothing, no, none of your independence. They're not there to do that. They're not there to rob you. They're there to add value. The amazing job that I'm sure you're doing and your children seeing, a husband is going to take that a whole nother level. That's
Well,
what a
the
husband.
right one. I just can't see them. I keep putting my glasses on and I'm
Okay.
like, where are you?
But look,
Nowhere to be found.
check this out. But check this out. I tell single mothers this right here, right? And this is so true right here. This is so true. Even myself, down to the flaws, you're going to get who you are. That's who you really going to attract. That's who you're going to attract. So even myself, when I was worried, I don't know about this type of woman. I don't want. That's because I wasn't trusting myself at that time. That's where I was. I was, I'm a little sketchy person right now. So everybody's sketchy to me. So literally, you're going to receive the person that you are. Y'all don't look alike, but I promise you, as you're starting to learn them, your husband and your wife, you're gonna be like, wow, I see why I got this person. These are the same values I live by. This is really me. So I truly believe that you'll receive who you are. So you continue the season you're in, I think it's amazing. And I wrote about that in the book, The First Step. Actually, that's my first chapter, and I did that. Acceptance. you have to go through that stage of acceptance. I don't encourage you looking to date or anything at all. In my most recent book, the 6 steps from single mom to married mom, where I'm actually giving single moms the game from the flip from the inside on the 6 steps.
Okay.
You're dating, and I'm gonna send a book to both of y'all. If not tonight, I'll send it by tomorrow. I'll send it to both of y'all. Because I want to have a conversation with y'all about it. I want to see what y'all think. But
I'll read it. And then if I disagree with 90% of it, you're going to come back and you're like, no. And we'll have a debate on it. I'm like, this is bullshit.
Bring it on.
But I love it.
But look, dating is actually step 5. It's 6 steps. Dating is step 5.
Right.
So just think about that. So
I want to know all the steps now. I'm sort of curious. So can you just give us a hint? Like, what's step 3?
No, that's like giving the book away, Christina.
Oh, I don't like surprises. I don't want to wait.
No.
Okay,
you better
send this out tomorrow because I'm going to read it in like an hour. I'm just going to like fly through it.
You know what? I'm going to put it out there that we'll have you on again. And
after we're done reading it, we'll hash it out.
We'll have you back on again and we'll talk about it. Because I know dating is a very big topic for a lot of our listeners. And we do get a lot of questions about it. It really is. And even just not necessarily our audience, but single parents in general, because no matter what stage you are, it comes up. Right. And I think this is a very important topic and a very important stage in being a single parent, even for those who have chosen to be single parents in the sense of I'm not dating, I'm not looking, I'm not, you know, like Christina, I've got my village and I am just pushing forward with that. So I would love to preemptively invite you back on to the podcast so we can talk.
Are you
more
ready
about
for
this.
It? Let's do this.
Okay. Am I going to be like the mediator here between the two of you? Because I feel like I may have to slip into that role.
No,
maybe
I love
get
it
like a
when
bell.
Someone. I love a good debate. I love a good debate. And if someone is really good at talking, I'm like, okay, let's do this. Like, and I usually lose. But I feel like someone might have the same mindset as me and they might be like, I feel that. And they could have the same mindset as you. And they're like, oh, okay. And then there's the mediators like Christina are like, oh, I don't know which way I want to go.
I agree with everyone. I should give myself a little bell. Ding, ding. Point to Christina. Point to Darnell.
I love that.
But yes, I think that would actually be a really great topic to discuss with you, and maybe even have you back for a panel discussion with another single mom or single dad who wants to come on and chat about this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think it's incredible that you are not just focusing on single parents, but also, you know, not just single dads, sorry, but single moms as well, because you do have the insight from the single dad side of things, right? And I think that there can be not lines drawn per se, but it's almost like not maybe a competition, if that's the right word for it. I mean, I know Christina's nodding like it, you know, that there's this perception of kind of who needs it more, who's better, you know, like there doesn't seem to be a lot of cohesion between single moms and single dads, if that makes any sense. Like, do you get that when you work with single parents?
You mean who really needs help? Is that what you mean?
More in terms of the mindset that you see from people. So do you, when you work with single moms, do you hear from a lot of them that, you know, all men are this or all men are that, or, you know, from the single dad side of things, all women are this, all women are that? Do you hear that a lot?
Not so much. Not with the single parents. That's more like the outside noise to me. I think that's more like, you know, just people dating, you know, blaming others, the other sex. Or so I don't really hear that as much as a concern for single parents on either end. I think single parents, they're more like the mind and the schedule is so packed. They don't really get into even myself, I when I was a single parent, I mean, if you ask me, like, well, who got it better between, I mean, or who got it worse between you and a single mom, single dad, I probably would have looked at you like you were crazy or something. So, yeah, I just think single parents are so, you know, you're so busy, you know, that really, you don't really worry about that type of stuff, at least in my opinion. I haven't heard it.
That's really good, because I know that sometimes lines can be drawn with that, and you start to lean into stereotypes of, yeah, you know, what men are, what women are. And I think it's amazing that you work with both single dads and single moms, and you really take in, you know, that parenting piece into account, because I think that part of it, being a single parent, very, very different from just being single. You know, yeah. There's so much more that comes with that. Is there anything you're seeing from your current clients that are things, you know, that come up continuously with being a single parent when it comes to mindset and, you know, really coming into yourself?
Yeah, I think the main struggle is structure. You know, and I can understand it, why structure is a struggle, because, you know, once again, I mean, it's one of them things where, like, you've been married, right?
Yes.
So, and I don't know exactly what type of marriage it was or whatever, but there's a different, in a good marriage, right? A healthy marriage, there's a structure, like, you really won't understand. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Compared to, there's a balance, let's say that you really couldn't understand until you're out of the single parent balance. You get what I'm saying? Trying to balance things as a single parent. It's very difficult. So what I see with a lot of the parents consistently is they struggle with structure, like scheduling, not getting enough rest, not having enough time to actually teach the child, you know, outside of school, which I feel is the most important teaching. The whole structure of not having enough time to work out, you know, not having enough time to spend on themselves, you know. So this is something I always hear consistently, that I didn't have enough time to do this. It wasn't enough for that. So that's the most consistent issue. And I think it's a structural thing. Not that they need marriage to get that structure. Actually, you want to get that structure together to help position you for the right marriage, if that's what you desire anyway. So
100%.
Yeah. So the structure is comes up probably in every, thought you pros for saying that, comes up in probably 9 out of 10 sessions that I have.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to say as kind of a lasting statement for our listeners, for single parents, for single parents in particular, but our audience actually does include people who aren't single parents. So maybe we'll focus on single parents, because that's what you're focused on, with Single Parents Win and all the amazing work that you've done. So what would be something that you'd want single parents to know, drawing from your own experience as a single parent and as a life coach?
You're not no one's victim. You don't have to be a victim. You don't have to continue to live in the past. You don't need to be inspired by the past. Let's think about what the other side looks like. And I guarantee you, once you take your attention to the other side will then be, you will give intention. That will become your intention. That means mm-hmm. you will start planning for the future. You'll start planning for what you don't have. You'll start planning for what you desire, you know. But if the attention is always in your past and in the trauma, then that's where your intention is going to be. And for those that aren't single parents, you know, I think it's important that you all know that when single parents win, we're all going to win.
Hell Yes.
Thank you so much for coming on today. We appreciate you to
Absolutely.
infinity and beyond.
Likewise, likewise. Yo, you ladies are the best.
Oh, thank
Thank
you.
you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. And to all of our listeners, thank you for joining us today, for supporting us in this podcast. Don't forget to click subscribe on the podcast wherever you listen to it. Comment on episodes. Follow us on social media. We've got single.parent.podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. And yeah, we're just so grateful for all of you. And thank you again to Darnell for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, it was an honor. It was an honor.
We will catch you all on the next episode.
You can find more great episodes featuring helpful information and amazing stories by searching Single Parent Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or visit www.lifesongfilms.com and click podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
And remember, we're all in this together.